Thank God for this day. And asking for the Lord to work through me and to bless you guys and bless everybody and help us to grow the kingdom. And all the glory goes to you, God. Your kingdom is power and glory forever. Thank you, God, for the praise and worship. We got provision and victory and peace. Hallelujah. So welcome to GSMF, Gift of the Spirit Ministry Fellowship, and God's Spirit moving freely. Praise the Lord. I brought some books up here. I've got 7 books here, and I've heard some people say Uno Libre, so there's 1 book, the Bible. And John 3 is the title. And so we must be born again. And we've got some information from the Ralph Naber Jr. teaching. And we've also got the Apostles' book, Sick and Tired of Christians Losing the Victory. Another book from Ralph Naber Jr., Welcome to Your Changed Life, The New Birth. Kenneth Hagin, and then Pastor Thurman Scribner, How to Get a Lost Person Saved. So these are all powerful. They have a lot of scripture in them. And I brought our cards up here. So we know what we're doing. The GSMF vision is to restore the body of Christ back to the divine order established by the early church to renew the unity of the fivefold ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and to equip the saints through discipleship, deliverance, sharing out faith, and working the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is done through kingdom teachings and discipleship training, not to compete, but to complete. And the kingdom teachings are powerful. Kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, values, morals, and lifestyle that reflects the king's desire and nature for his citizens. And then we have a love card. Love is patient, kind, delights in truth, always hopes, always perseveres. In the Touching Hearts, you can read this book. You can watch on YouTube. There's teachings. I wanted to go right to page 16 on this. And it's talking about testimony because Sarah gives her testimony and talks about all the things that have been stolen from us. So I tried to make it make sense. And he says, well, he gives an introduction with Paul, how Paul talks about his life before becoming a Christian. And so this is in the Bible. I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Sicily, brought up in the city under Gamaliel. I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers. This is the way I realized I needed to follow Jesus. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. And these are details of how I actually accepted Christ. What shall I do? Lord asked. Get up, Lord said, and go into Damascus. And this is what it means to be a Christian. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So this is Damascus experience. Most of us don't have a extreme experience. Brother Andy's got a pretty powerful testimony I heard the other day. But so it made me want to share more. So I'd say my life before becoming a Christian was like this: sin and confusion, double-mindedness. And like everybody, I was a born sinner. But age 18, I liked to listen to classic rock, KGGO, wrestle, chew and cuss, drink, smoke, anything rebellious. And Ralph Neighbor also says he wants you to share your testimony in 60 seconds when you sit down with somebody to show them the, we've got a diagram. But, and one of the things he puts on a diagram is, so what's the cost? You have to give up your self life to have the life with Christ and have the relationship. Then he says, well, what has it cost you already? So Sarah's talked about that, like the things that have been stolen from us. So, you know, it's hard to fathom the things that have been stolen from us, but, you know, age 18, I could have gone on a wrestling scholarship to college, but I didn't do it because my friends were at the university, so I went to the university, and I guess I wanted to follow what the mentally ill were doing. So then I had to, but I got a revelation when I was writing this, because I had to admit that I had a higher power to be able to graduate from there. So age 23, I was graduated with a four-year degree from the university. Praise the Lord, because God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So change then. Then I just had years of double-mindedness until 2006. Listened to a business audio, and this is like the 60-second story. So the guy was saying how he's talking about how to make money, and at the end he said he gives all the credit to his Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. And so then I went to a business meeting, gave my life to Christ at a conference on the Sunday meeting, and that's when I consider born again. He wants you to give you the details. You're supposed to give the details of when you're born again. If you're talking to somebody. And then he breaks it down really good to discern if people, you can probe and find out if people are a type A believer or type B believer. So if they have a commitment, willing to do a Bible study, open to a message, that's a type A believer. Type B believer, they're an interest, they have an interest group, open to a messenger, and there's different levels. He's got written in a pyramid. Four, they're aware. Five, awareness of the supernatural. Probably where I was when I said I admitted I had a higher power. And then your oikos is a New Testament word which describes your network of relationships, oikos. And most of us have our personal world of 8 to 12 people we relate to on a weekly basis. And spiritually unbelievers in our oikos will fall into the five categories that I was just telling you about. And then type B believers, they have no interest in the Christian faith, but type A believers are ready. So they're ready to become born again. And then he talks about like ideas you could do with people. That's the beauty of it, because Jesus didn't hang around just, you know, people that are born again. He hung around the sinners. So then what would you do with the people Bible study together, share your conversion testimony, go on a biking or hiking trip, invite friends to attend the celebration, invite a friend to receive Christ, invest time developing a friendship, and meet the, you want to meet the family, the oikos members, because the oikos is how people get saved, their group, their family. So in the video, he talks about Marilyn. He did an interview with Marilyn, and she still had this diagram. If you can put, do you have a picture of that diagram, Sarah? So there's a diagram that you can draw for people if that's your thing. Some people are just, you know, I've sat in a guy's living room and he's just talked with the guy and asked him questions. I thought it was powerful. It's kind of how Thurman has done it. But you can use a diagram, and I was going to tell you some about this diagram. There's also some other materials. More than one book has a picture of it. I've scribbled all over the thing. But yeah, I was getting ready to tell you this story about Ralph Nabor Jr. met with Marilyn, who got saved is like 1977, but this is a more recent interview that he did with her. And so she told how it happened. So her son got a track from somebody in high school, took it home, and got saved on his own, and just got born again. Then he's talking to his mom. He says, "Mom, you're not saved." So then she made an appointment with Ralph Nabor Jr., and Ralph Nabor Jr. goes over there, scribbles out this diagram, and she ended up framing it, becomes born again, puts it in her office. She was a secretary to, there it is, a multinational oil company, has this on her wall, and it's all in pencil. Then the postman comes in and asks her about it. Postman sits down. Postman gets born again. Her mother gets born again. So that's an example of the oikos. That's the group of people. So it was the son, the mother, the postman, and then the grandma. The grandma was of the son was a waitress in one room for 25 years. And then so Ralph Nabor Jr. goes over there to meet with her. And she goes, "Come here." She takes him back. He's like, "What's going on?" Took him back to her bedroom, pulls out this drawer, and it's just filled with paper tracts people had given her over the years. But she never really was born again. But so after Ralph Nabor went through this diagram, that worked in that situation, she got born again. Praise the Lord. And then, so working on the oikos, writing down names. And I've got an oikos, family of oikos. Oikos, the meaning of it is your family or your group of people. And so this book comes into play, the Billy Graham. So 1948, Billy Graham was in, you can look through this nice table coffee book, but one of the crusades meetings Billy Graham did in Iowa was in 1948 in Des Moines, Iowa. So was trying to put together an oikos. And so Uncle Tom, who passed away a couple years ago, said that in probably, he said 75 years ago, so it's been 80 years ago, that my Uncle Tom and his brothers went and got baptized in the First Christian Church And so then he was saying that Aura went to the meetings that Billy Graham had. But I was trying to look up, they were talking about Omaha. I was trying to look at the records while he's in Des Moines, 1948. Don't really know, because he was also with the Youth for Christ. So I don't know exactly what meeting she went to. But so that's an example of Oikos. So Aura went there. He would say, come down by the hundreds. They'd come down and be saved. So Aura was part of that. And then Pete Wilbur. So then he was saved. So then he was worked in the church for 50 years. And Bill was saved. Tom was saved. My uncles were saved. And my aunt was saved. A pretty big family. So it's a oikos. That's your oikos. Then if you watch and learn from Ralph Naber Jr., he shows more examples of oikos. He taught people in Europe. And they had an oikos. And then he had pictures on his wall of how much it grew in 6 months. And people come in his office, see how bigger the group was. So it's powerful. Luke 10, 1 through 9 tells us how to meet type A people not in our oikos. So after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. They were sent out in pairs. So the Holy Spirit's always working on somebody and somebody else at the same time. And we see this happen a lot. And you'll be like, feel Holy Spirit inspired, and then somebody else will have the Holy Spirit, and then there's a meeting. And so that's why God sends them out in pairs. And the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. They were commissioned by God. They depended on the shepherd's protection. So this is a powerful thing that Jesus told us to do. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And their contact was to be with the oikoses. Jesus gives instructions on that too. They were to search for a man of peace when they went someplace. They were to remain for the further harvest. So that's where Jesus describes how they go to a house and remain there. Don't move around. Stay in one place, and they were to remain with the responsive segments. They were to constantly relate to people. They were to manifest God's power. They were to declare the reign of God. The kingdom of God is near to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them. That's what Thurman talks a lot about. This one is a lot about healing the sick. How to get a lost person saved, he's talking about. So I'm glad that I'm kind of glad it snowed last week, because then I picked up this book and started reading this book. and went over to my friend's house. That was powerful. And so we come to the John 3:16 diagram. And you want to build a trust relationship with the people, probe for responses, and so you can see where they're at, and you're not. It's pretty awesome, because some of us are used to sales. We're trying to get the contract. You're revealing Jesus. You don't have to get them to sign or anything. He does have a place where they can sign, but it's not a pressurized thing. You're just revealing Jesus. Probe for responsiveness. Introductory remarks. How to draw the net. Ask, have you ever come to the crossroad and made a deliberate decision to follow Jesus' pathway to God? Would you like to make this decision now? But that's after a lot of talking. And it's more than just them saying a prayer. Then follow up, and that's kind of what the Touching Hearts books, that's a follow-up book, and then the New Birth book by Hagen. And it says, tells you what to do if the person is not ready. And you sign a prayer list in the back of your... Look at the pages in the back of your Bible that might have some blank paper, and you have room to write a prayer list. Those people you can pray for. And we know how to do it because we've been trained on how to boldly come into the throne of grace and put people in the third heaven. And I've seen that happen because people have been saved. So we're supposed to be teaching this by experience. There's one piece of experience. You put somebody in third heaven, pretty soon they get saved. And then they have, people are going to have excuses. It says don't ping pong with people. Randy does a good job at that. He just listened. And then, well, they're saying something crazy. Well, what's your five favorite scriptures? Don't use debate method. Don't argue. Five probe principles. Yeah, I said those. Deliberate, don't debate. Be tender, not traumatic. Converse, don't confront. Respect, don't reject. Love, love, love. What have we been learning about? A lot about love. And God so loved the world. Pray, pray, and pray. Above all, pray, pray, and pray. Pray against the strongholds. Ralph Neighbor's got a lot of interesting stories. I marked a story in here for you guys. Thanks for waiting. A true story. Many years ago, a Welsh lady came to my cell group. Her husband worked at an Air Force base and spent most of his paycheck getting drunk on Friday nights. Her house was set back from the road, so every time I would drive up to see him, he would run out the back door and disappear until I was gone. I prayed earnestly that the Lord would arrange a way for us to get acquainted, whether from the Lord or not, I will not say. But this man got the worst case of the gout I've ever seen. He was confined to his chair with a pillow under his foot for several days. Now he couldn't escape. I spent the first few hours just getting acquainted, swapping stories about our childhoods and his army service. Gradually he accepted me as a friend. We came to the moment when I could ask, I know you don't ever think about spiritual things, and you know that this is the most important thing in my life. Would you permit me to share with you what I believe? He put a new chew of tobacco in his cheek and said, go ahead. I began the John 3:16 presentation. He moved rather quickly through it until I wrote the word death. He exploded. He had convinced himself there was no afterlife and that hell was nonsense. So strong were his feelings that I dropped the discussion. The next day I returned to visit him. He had cooled off but was still pondering the issue of death and eternal separation from God. It took some time to work through that area, and I had to search the concordance in the back of my Bible for answers to some of his questions. Finally, we completed the entire presentation. He accepted Christ as Lord. I saw that man grow and grow in the Lord as he was delivered from alcohol abuse and became a man of prayer. Sharing patiently with him worked. And also talks about... He had some more sketches that he did when he drew this out, the one that Marilyn had posted on her wall, and it has like the apple tree and the roots. So the root, there's difference between sin and sins. You can explain that to people. So you want to get the root out, the sin, and the apple trees represents the sins, which everybody doesn't be forgiven, but the main thing is to get the root of the I out and replace it with Christ. And then I've seen Apostle do this sketch with the chair and the cross and the I on the chair, and then you cross out the X on the I, and some people can understand it this way. There's 17 steps on how to show this diagram. Another example of a man of peace, the record of Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia is another classic example of the way people are prepared for your coming to them. The eunuch had come a long distance seeking God's presence. He had to travel all the way from North Africa, but would never be received into the Jewish religion because he was a eunuch, and being able to procreate was a requirement for proselytes. He was seeking after truth, reading the story of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. Sadly, he had to return home without finding the rest for his soul he had come so far to receive. The Holy Spirit, who had been working his life, knew that if he returned to the paganism of Queen Candace's court, he would never find salvation. As in the case of Peter and Cornelius, the scripture reveals an angel of the Lord appeared and gives instructions to Philip. The supernatural activity of God is again the source of encounter between these two men. So there's always Holy Spirit's working on two people to come together. Philip would have felt like a fool standing along a dusty road except for one thing. He knew God sent him. He did not know why he was there when he got there. Obedience to the calling of the Spirit always precedes ministry. When the Ethiopian appeared, he was diligently reading a valuable handwritten scroll of Isaiah. This was not a small document, nor it was an inexpensive item. Clinging to hope, he was seeking to discover what the writing taught. You will discover among these those called the man of peace, some who have already started to read the scriptures. In their search, many are victimized by the cults who focus on being experts at what the Bible teaches, along with their other spurious books. Investigative Bible study materials will help you to help these seekers. So it was that Philip boarded the chariot and rode farther and farther in the wrong direction from his house. No amount of inconvenience in getting back would deter him from having this investigative Bible study with the eunuch. The account concludes with the eunuch's confession of faith and his baptism by immersion in a river beside the road and his going on his way rejoicing. And then this impacted Philip to do more. The next hour we hear of Philip, he has gone to evangelize the neglected area of Samaria, and his daughters have joined him in the ministry. Beware, as the Christ within you becomes a mediator through your life and you discover the partnership you have with the Holy Spirit, your entire future may be revised. This is a wonderful thing that happens to obedient Christians. So it goes more into the drawing of the diagrams. Got a lot of stories in here. Yeah, and then I wanted to get to our, did I tell you we're going to have a Bible quiz?
We expect that now.
Okay. This time is going to be open book, hopefully. So in this Ralph Nabors Jr. book, there's some scriptures in the back. So these are the ones I'm using. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Is God a rewarder? Yes. And then Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So next question, does Paul talk about salvation? Yes. Amen. Amen. And then Hebrews 9, 27 to 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many times has Christ been offered?
Once.
What is he going to do the second time? Amen. Come back. Randy said, take us home. And Genesis 3:5. And this is all a lie. Oh. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Is Genesis 3:5 a lie? It's not? They ate and their eyes were open, so it wasn't a lie. Okay. Not here to debate. He's the father of lies. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is the father of lie and is father of it. And then the last one, shouldn't have to debate about this, John 3:16, the gospel in the nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Does God love the world? Amen. Then I brought Keith's book, because Ralph Neighbor Jr. is getting into talking about the groups. They call it a cell group. I think we call it a fellowship group. This is a basic outline of our apostolic cell church fellowship. Church ministry, we have had good success through the system and plan on greater success as we continue to growing. And then, you guys might have seen this book. You can look at the diagram of executive, got apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and then it shows how it works. As visible from the diagram, the executive board is connected to administrative support, the development center, and to the cell churches in order to oversee the ministry. Advisory board helps provide staff for the administration personnel and the development center. Advisory board makes sure the needs of people are met by receiving ministry and or growing and ministering to others. The pastor directly oversees the people. The cell group, the fellowship group, teacher directly oversees the development center to help new ministries grow. Everything in this paradigm is set up to help ensure that the children of God grow into maturity as sons and daughters of God. In summary, the following helps Christians receive and keep the victory. You must know that you are wanted by God and that there is a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not a mistake, no matter what has happened to you at any time in your life. God wants you to be blessed. You must understand that God created the kingdom on this earth, and he wants you to understand it and function effectively in it. You must see yourself as a king, a priest, and a lord. You have the right to exercise dominion over the earth, but you do not have dominion over the will of other people. God gave us free will to love him, God or not. You must respect that free will, whether or not you agree with how others use it. You need to have discipline, one-on-one teaching, show you things such as how to work the spiritual gifts while consistently manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. There are a number of other examples. You need to have help with establishing your purpose in life. You also need someone or others to walk with you, helping you to perfect it. Then you can, in turn, help others achieve their purpose in their life and walk with them in love. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory forever. Amen. And welcome to your changed life is something you can get somebody after they become born again. And you can Google this if you want to follow along. This is, you can pay for one of these, but then if you Google it, you can see it's said by Ralph Nabor Jr. It's free. Welcome to the rest of your life. And then it says you have just made the most important decision of your life. Now that you have done so, I want you to guide you as you think about what it means to become a Christian. I once have a man who bought a ticket on a ship to cross the ocean. He had little money left, so he stocked up on cheese and crackers to eat on the voyage. He dreamed of the good things that were waiting for him on the other side and just endured the trip. As the ship was docking, he told one of the ship's stewards that he had been eating cheese and crackers for 2 weeks. You can imagine his frustration when the steward said, "Didn't anyone tell you that all the buffets and huge meals were included in the price of your ticket? Like you, I'm looking forward to eternity with Christ, but our Lord has an important feast for you to enjoy now. Don't miss out." And then this goes into, let's begin with review what has happened. And then it talks about John 3, which is the title of the talk. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." And Nicodemus answers and says, "How can a man be," or what's he say? "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And if you go up to John 3:16, that's 13. I got 1 John there. "And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life." We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do we call a tree an apple tree because it has fruit on it called apples? Or do we say it bears apples because it's an apple tree? We couldn't call the tree a peach tree when the fruit hasn't ripened yet, just in case it's bore peaches 1 year, would we? No, the tree bears apples because it's an apple tree. With that in mind, let us consider the word sin. It doesn't have the same meaning as the word sins. Sin is a root word, and sins is a fruit word. Man's problem isn't primarily related to the fruit of his life. His problem is at the root of his life. He has a sin problem. Let's look at the root of man's life. The Bible refers to it as the heart. To say it simply, man has a heart problem. In the diagram below, he draws a tree and the heart with the chair and the crown on it. This diagram below, we see a tree with roots and fruits because the heart is the heart, the root of man. Within that heart, there's a throne and a crown. Around the outside of the heart are fruits that come from the root. Do you have a pen, you draw an X over the I on sin and in the diagram, and then draw an I on the throne wearing the crown. That's the way the Bible defines sin. It's a condition in which you and I have declared ourselves to be the masters, the kings, the owners, or the bosses of our own lives. You see, that's what makes us unacceptable to God. He never intended for us to own ourselves. So then the diagram explains, this one explains, if you put that diagram back on there, please. If a man commits murder, do we accuse the judge of being unreasonable when the sentence is described and the man is condemned? Of course not. The murderer was personally responsible for his destiny. Thus we discover that man has caused a terrible problem for himself. He tries to find a way to patch things up with God. He wants to get the relationship back. So this is showing the things that we try to do to get the relationship back. We go to church thinking that we can get a relationship back with God, or do good works, or try other religions. Those necessarily aren't going to get you back with a relationship with God for eternal life. And here's a little, it shows a picture of a guy drowning. Picture that describes the problem of man. This poor fellow began to swim across the lake. Of course, he was confident when he started that he could accomplish his goal. He needed no help. But now something terrible has happened. A cramp in his side has made it impossible for him to swim. He's in trouble. Let's imagine for a moment that he makes a decision to keep his promise to himself and find his own solution. How long is he going to last before he drowns? He realizes he has no choice and cries out, "Help!" Unless someone comes to save him, he's doomed. Fortunately, he's willing to admit that he has a problem. Because of this, there is a possibility that someone who's nearby will rescue him. So sheep have a shepherd because they will drown. And Thurman, one of our teachers, was herded sheep, and he said they'd go in the ditch and the water came in there, they'd just drown. They needed a shepherd. So, and God calls us as at like sheep. A savior comes to rescue him, and safe on the bank, he now shares his thanks with the one who rescued him. You made the most important decision of your life based on this truth, but there's more to it, and this is really important for you to know. Let's return to the problem of the swimmer in the lake. For him to be saved, he had to be removed from the water, didn't he? What did we say the problem of man was? As we spiritualized the illustration, we realized that the man was going to die because his eye controlled existence. What did Jesus save you from when you prayed to him? The condition he saved you from was a cell phone, self-directed life. Praise the Lord. So this book has another Bible quiz. So it starts with 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the question is, what is mighty through God? Amen. The weapons of our warfare. Praise is one of them. Praise the Lord. And next one, 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What kind of life has God given us? Eternal. Amen. Who has life?
Those that
Yes, those that have the Son, those that are born again. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Is God faithful? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is he just? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Will God direct your path? Yes. And John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Will your joy be full? Yes, it is written. Praise the Lord. Kenneth Hagin book, The New Birth. We probably all heard Kenneth Hagin speak before. He's got some interesting stories. You might take a flopped-eared mule and try to make a racehorse of him. You could file his teeth, polish his hooves. You could feed him the finest foods, run him around the track every day, and house him in the finest stable. But on the day of the race, when the gun sounds, all he'll do is hop off down the track because he's a mule. It's just not in him. Yet you can take a racehorse and not give him as good a care, but when you put him on the starting line and the gun sounds, he's gone. It's his nature. He's born and bred that way. In order for that old mule to be a racehorse, he would have to be reborn, and that's not possible. Man, however, who is a spirit living in a body, can be reborn. His nature can be changed. He can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how well educated man becomes, how many degrees he has at the end of his name, how many dollars he has, how good a social worker he is, or nor how religious he is. Man cannot stand in the presence of God. His nature is wrong. Man is lost today, not because of what he does, but because of what he is. What he does is the result of what he is. Man needs life from God because he is spiritually dead. Thanks be to God, Christ has redeemed us from the spiritual death. Yeah, and God made us in his likeness and his image. Because God is a spirit, he wants to work through us. So we are like the, we're not like the mule. We're like the racehorse. He made us to be, to grow the kingdom. The new birth does not place take gradually. It's instantaneous. It is a gift of God received the moment we believe. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 8:14-16, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank God we're children of God. the new birth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then Romans 10:9 explains how to be born again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. New creation facts. You are a child of God. First John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:16, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John 10:10 explains a lot. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a sinner's prayer in here. Praise the Lord. So, thank you, God, for this day. And helps do like Jesus says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hallelujah. There's a lot of praise music. The one that I found, a CD, was from probably 2006, about the call. They gave it to me when I got born again. If you have it, praise the Lord.
It's a stirring in my spirit. It's a tugging at my heart. It's the voice of everlasting speaking in my deepest part. And as I read the scripture, it leaps off of the page. It leads me as I worship and draws me.
Praise the Lord. Matt, you did a great job. It was really good. It's all about reaching out to other people. Eden's dream this morning was right on with what we're talking about today. I gave him this book. We had these books from a long time ago, and I gave Matt this book, and he ran with it. So there are two books. You can get them online. I can give you a link. They're meant to be a weekend. So one of the books, and I think the one I gave him is the instructor book. But there is also a book for when you're going through the weekend. Matt went online on YouTube and found the Touching Hearts Weekend and watched them. There's three, right? He watched them, and I watched the first one. Unfortunately, I haven't watched the rest yet, but it was powerful because one of the stories he talked about was when they were relatively first married, he and his wife was a nurse, and there was a doctor at the hospital she worked at, and they were friends, and they would go out to dinner all the time, and they would talk, and then Ralph started feeling like, you know, I need to talk to him about Jesus, but he never did. And then one day, he comes home and his wife is crying, and he's like, what's wrong? That doctor died. And then later on, he found out from somebody else that knew him, he was waiting for Ralph to talk to him about Jesus. So the other story he talks about on there is, this is a lot later on, it's a snowy night, it's cold outside, and it's snowing, and the Lord, he's getting ready to go to bed, and the Lord's like, I want you to, so he had been going to this gas station and talk and had this conversation ongoing for a long time with this guy, and they just talk about the weather, or, you know, little small talk. Well, as he's ready to go to bed, and it's cold out, and it's snowing, and the Lord says, I want you to go to that gas station. And he's like, Lord, it's snowing outside. He goes, I want you to go to that gas station. And he says, okay. So he gets out, he goes there. The guy is just shutting down everything. He's just shut down the pumps and everything, and he's closed up. And the guy says to him, I'm sorry, you can't get gas tonight. And he says, well, I'm not here for gas. I wanted to talk to you about Jesus. And the guy goes, I've been waiting for you to say that. And he got saved that night. That's you know, he remembered that the reason he went to the gas station that night is because he remembered about the doctor that never left him, because that was an opportunity he missed. And he felt bad. I mean, he felt horrible about it. And what opportunities are we missing to talk about Jesus? People are waiting. I know we get a lot of rejection from people. There are a lot of people out there who reject us. Yeah. And it's hard, and it makes it hard. It does. We have true evangelist, Randy. You truly are an evangelist. But we all are supposed to evangelize. We all have our gifts. We're all going to do it in a different way. If you want to go through the Touching Hearts and you're really interested, maybe we can do a weekend. If you want to do it on your own, you look up Touching Hearts with Ralph Nabors Weekend, and he has three. And the one was kind of hard to find, but then all of a sudden it started popping up in order for some reason the more I got onto it. But if you want a link to these books, Ralph Nabors got a lot of books. They're all free. You can print them out yourself. He just doesn't want you to alter them. I will give you a link personally. This is one of his other books for when people first get saved. He wants people to, you know, have these. And then the Kenneth Hagin book, A New Birth, that's for people that are just born again. And if you want some of those to take out, I can give you these today, because we have a whole bunch of these. So if you want some, ask me if you want to give them out to people, okay? So we thank you, Father, that the evangelistic heart and each one of us, we're all called to be ministers. no matter what we do, no matter what our gift is. So we thank you that you are pulling and you are working. And as Matt said, Holy Spirit is working on you. Holy Spirit is working on that person. And that union together, you know you're going to get somebody saved. You will find people that will reject you, but you just keep on doing it. It's hard, I know, but it's important. People are important. So you all have a great rest of your week. I ask God's blessing upon you. I ask God's opportunities upon you this week as you go along, and the safety to be surrounded you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
You might not be the one that leads that person directly at that moment, but you might be the person preparing the soil for someone else to actually lead that person. So you might not feel comfortable, you know, from beginning to end, but we all have a part to play. And the foundation is love. When you love people, that is preparing the soil. And people see Jesus in you, then you are preparing the soil for, I don't know, I think I heard one time, it might take 7 or 8 or more times for people to hear it before they finally do it. So please, just love.